Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody. And welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. On this episode, we are looking at the many end times prophecies concerning regathered Israel, who turns 73 years old today, and comparing that to what we see happening on the ground right now in the Holy Land. So far, everything is right on track and according to schedule, with all the key players doing exactly what your King James Bible says that they would be doing. Now, as Bible believers, we do not, I repeat, we do not rejoice in any suffering, war, violence, or bloodshed, not at all. But we do rejoice in watching Bible prophecies, whether they be negative or positive, thousands of years old coming to pass before our very eyes. Yesterday, the IDF tweeted out that Israel had begun a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip to rout out the Hamas militants firing the rockets, but, in point of fact, they did not send ground troops into Gaza yesterday. It was an intentional deception and a brilliant strategic move. Fooled everybody. Designed to lure Hamas protection away from their network of underground tunnels so the IDF could bomb them and blow them up. But trick plays will rarely win the big game. And today, on their 73rd anniversary of being prophetically regathered, Israel is about to actually send in those ground troops. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 and 21, talking about the siege of Jerusalem during the time of the Great Tribulation, says this: "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." And then Luke goes on to say that these are the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled. And we are rapidly approaching that time. Now, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is going to take place before that, but we are seeing everybody kind of having a dress rehearsal. They're getting in place, and all the connections are being made, and all the rockets, both literal and spiritual and metaphorical, are being lit and fired. We live in amazing times. We are watching Bible prophecy on many levels, both small and great, coming true on almost a daily basis. And we are blessed to be alive and to see these things with our own eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your goodness and for your grace towards us. And Lord, you give us so much better than what we deserve. And today we come before you, Lord. We're going to be talking about your chosen people, the Jewish people. We're going to be talking about your holy land, the world's only holy land, Jerusalem and Israel. And as we do these things, Lord, we lift up your son, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. But we're aware that there is another Christ, and that is the Christ of Satan, Lord, who is waiting to come onto the scene. The moment that Jesus opens that first seal that we read about in Revelation chapter 6. So, Lord, we seek your Son this morning. We seek Jesus Christ to be high and lifted up. Your word says that he was sent not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we pray, Lord, we pray this morning for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that some might be saved and put into the body of Christ and removed in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church before that time comes. And Lord, we thank you for the increase. We thank you, Lord, for the protection, the provision. We thank you, Lord, for the thousands of new listeners and the hundreds of people in the chat room. And you give us so much better than what we deserve, Lord. And we are so thrilled to be on the front lines of the end times for you. And Father God, meet with us today And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Friday, everybody. And as you know, today is May 14th, and it is just about springtime. So you know where I'm going with that one. Springtime in the year 2021. Spring, it started on March 20th, and it is going to go until June 1st. So we have been in springtime since March, and summer will begin on June 1st, and we are right in the thick of springtime. Now, why is that important? Why is springtime important? Well, if you've been to Now the End Begins for more than 5 minutes, you know exactly why we like to talk about the springtime. Because in Song of Solomon chapter 2, we read a wonderful reference to something that can only be described as the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And a lot of people are shocked when you first tell them that the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is not only in the New Testament, we see it in type in the Old Testament. And what an amazing thing. You would think, though, right? You would think for an event that is going to be that big and that amazing and that wonderful and that incredible, you would think, right, if you were God, wouldn't you sprinkle that like all over the place? You would have Paul and John teach it as doctrine. You would have it alluded to in types and figures. And that's exactly what we see here in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree, Israel, putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And Song of Solomon shows us, look at verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. How amazing is that? That's Jesus Christ in Song of Solomon. And he's the beloved. And the bride is looking up at him as he looks down through the lattice, Song of Solomon says in chapter 2. And he's skipping upon the hills. And when we get to the New Testament, when we get to the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is what we read, starting in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's exactly what we read about in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. He's looking down through the lattice. He's skipping upon the hills. What is the bride doing? The bride in Song of Solomon chapter 2 is down on the ground. And she is looking up. And she hears the voice of her beloved saying, rise up and come away. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet. It's not a trumpet. It's a voice like a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Revelation 4, 1 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 8 through 14. You put all those together, and what do you see? You see an amazing, amazing Old to New Testament picture of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, it is as plain and clear as the nose on your face. All you have to do is read it and believe it and string it together. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, that's the pre-tribulation rapture, and I'm going to get to this thing about Israel in just a minute. But that is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, something that Paul calls the day of Christ. That's what Paul calls it, the day of Christ. Now, the day of the Lord is something very, very, very different. The day of Christ is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But the day of the Lord, and Paul says that the day of Christ, comfort one another with these words. But you want to know what the day of the Lord is? For all of you who think that you're going to meet Antichrist in the tribulation, for all of you who are waiting to battle Antichrist at the second coming, Amos has a message for you, and it's not good. Amos 5:18, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?" The day of the Lord is the opposite of the day of Christ. The day of Christ is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church that we read about in John 10, John 14, 1 Thessalonians 4, Titus 2:13, Revelation 4, Song of Solomon chapter 2, and all across the Bible we read about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and it's comforting, it's wonderful. Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amos says that the day of the Lord is woe. It is not blessed. It is not filled with hope. It is filled with darkness. And there is no light or brightness in the day of the Lord. Now you think about that. If you're one of those post-toasties, if you're one of those people who are not looking for Jesus Christ, but you're waiting to meet Antichrist in the tribulation, you just spend a little bit of time in Amos 5:18. "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." I don't want that. I want nothing to, well, I want to be there during the day of the Lord, but I want to do it in Revelation 19:14. I don't want to do the day of the Lord in Amos 5:18. No siree. Not at all. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11. Revelation 19:11-14. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." And if you're saved, this is you and this is me. Revelation 19:14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now you know why Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3, that talking to saved people in the body of Christ, Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him," Jesus, "who has chosen him," you, "to be a soldier," Revelation 19:14, "and the armies in heaven." So there you go. Today is May 14th. Today is May 14th, 2021, and it is 73 years from the day that United States President Harry Truman signed a declaration acknowledging that the nation of Israel had a right to exist. And that's exactly what happened on May 14th, 1948. Harry Truman said that the United States formally and officially recognizes the regathering of the sovereign state of Israel. And today is the 73rd anniversary of the day that God began to fulfill his promise to regather his chosen people in the end of time. That happened. That is a fulfilled promise. And that happened 73 years ago today. God's promise to gather the Jewish people. Jeremiah 29:14. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. That happened 73 years ago today. We get very excited about May 14th around here. Why? Because we are Christian Zionists. I know a lot of false teachers like John Hagee and Chuck Baldwin and Tex Mars and Steven Anderson. I know all those fakers and those false teachers. They don't like the nation of Israel. In fact, Steven Anderson, John Hagee, Tex Mars, Chuck Baldwin, they hate the Jewish people. Did you know that? Did you know that Chuck Baldwin, and I know that many of you listen to that man, he is a fraud. Chuck Baldwin is a false teacher. And how do I know that? Because he teaches things that are absolutely against the Bible. Chuck Baldwin, a number of years ago, decided to turn against Scripture. And he decided that he was going to stand against the Jewish people. He was going to invite the Genesis 12:3 curse into his life. This is what Chuck Baldwin now says about the Jewish people. Chuck Baldwin says this: the creation of the Zionist state of Israel has brought turmoil, treachery, death, and destruction that is also almost unequaled in modern history. The Rothschild conspiracy to create the Zionist state has its tentacles in both world wars and virtually every significant act of war afterward. Chuck Baldwin is against the nation of Israel. He is against the Jewish people. He is rooting for Hamas and the Palestinians. So I urge you, if you listen to any Bible teacher, preacher, or pastor who stands against the Jewish people, who stands against the nation of Israel, who believes that Christians have replaced Jews as the chosen people, and who believe that the church has replaced Israel, that is something called replacement theology, and it is a damnable heresy. And if you listen to anybody who teaches that garbage, you need to get rid of that junk and you need to repent of that. And I would even go so far as to say that if you teach that the church will go through the tribulation, that is replacement theology. And the reason why I call that replacement theology is because the tribulation is a promise. It's a negative promise. The tribulation is a promise made to the Jewish people. No Christian was ever told that they were going to go through the Great Tribulation. Paul says that we will have tribulation as a condition. But tribulation as a condition is absolutely not the same thing as tribulation as a singular event in world history. And Jesus Christ himself says that it is going to be primarily for the Jewish people. Matthew 24, starting in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea, not in America, not in Spain or Germany or France or Italy. Matthew 24:16 says, then let them which be in Judea, that is in Israel, flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Do you see who Jesus is talking to? He's not talking to Gentiles. He's not talking to Americans. He's not talking to Canadians. Jesus is addressing Jewish people living in regathered Israel. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, who are the elect? If you have a Bible, and if you read the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. If you think that the church is going through the great tribulation, you teach and believe replacement theology, because I just showed you that the great tribulation of Matthew chapter 24 is talking about Jewish people, and it is talking to Jewish people. Now, I will grant you that the promise to go through the great tribulation is a negative promise. It is a negative prophecy. But what do we say around here? We believe and we like all the prophecies of God, whether they be negative or whether they be positive. And why? Because they are God's prophecies. And anything that God does is good. I'll take anything that God has for me. And I hope you feel the same way. If God said, well, God said to me a number of years ago, I've got to teach you some things, and I can only do that by allowing you to become homeless for a season. Now, I didn't like it very much. I kicked against it when it happened. But when I came out the other side, I had learned things that I could not have learned any other way. And I praise God for allowing me to go through a season of homelessness 7 years ago. That actually turned out to be one of the biggest blessings in my life. So, whether God's prophecies are negative or positive, we rejoice in anything that God has to tell us, anything that God has to say. And you better find the blessing in the negative of God, just as much as you do in the positive of God. Now, Joel Osteen, he won't teach that because that upsets us. And that's part and parcel of being alive during the time of the Laodicean church. We only want nice things. We only want blessings. We don't want any suffering. We don't want any small t tribulation. But I want anything and everything that God has to offer. Okay, so we got that out of the way. Today is May 14th. We are smack dab in the heart of springtime. We are 1 week away from the opening of our bookstore, our brick and mortar bookstore here in St. Augustine, Florida. And we would love it if you could come, if you're going to be here for our big camp meeting weekend. Our camp meeting weekend starts off with the opening of the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. And many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you have been coming to the bookstore and checking out the books. And a lot of you have been making purchases. And we so very, very much appreciate that. All you have to do is go to BibleBeliever.com. And you will be inside the online NTEB Bible Believers bookstore. Simply go to BibleBeliever.com and you can check out some great books and some great Bibles and a whole lot of tools that will help you to be a stronger witness and to be a better witness. BibleBeliever.com. Please check it out. I think we put a lot of work into it, a lot of effort into it, and we are excited to launch that. Very, very excited to launch that. All right, let's get into today's program. Israel, they pulled a fast one on everybody. It was a great strategic maneuver. Yesterday, Israel, they made the announcement. Israel made the announcement that they were sending in ground troops to the Gaza Strip, but it was a fake. They did, now everybody believed it, including us. And we did an article yesterday talking about how Israel had just sent ground troops into Gaza. Everybody did an article on how they sent ground troops into Gaza, but they didn't send ground troops into Gaza. It was a fake. Because they wanted to blow up the tunnels and they wanted Hamas to not be there to protect them. So that was actually a very, very good strategic maneuver. But here we have an article that was just posted after this program began a half an hour ago. Six Palestinians shot dead by IDF troops in West Bank clashes. So this thing is heating up. And this thing is getting ready to explode. And I believe, unless something changes, I believe that this thing is absolutely going to explode. It has to. Because we are at the time where this thing has just simply, it's got to go. Six Palestinians have been shot dead by the IDF troops in West Bank clashes. Protesters as far as Lebanon crossed into Israel on Friday afternoon at the same time as hundreds of people in Jordan attempted to reach the Allenby Bridge border crossing. So Israel is being descended upon from the north and from the south. Lebanon is north of Israel. Jordan, where Sela Petra is to the south of Israel. And the Jerusalem Post is reporting right now, breaking news, that protesters from the north and the south are coming across the border. Six Palestinians have been shot dead. Thousands of Palestinians are marching in solidarity with Hamas in the Gaza Strip right here and right now. So these are the things that are happening. Lebanese shot by Israeli forces gunfire after passing the Israeli border from Lebanon. So the IDF is they're shooting people coming across the border. And again, this is breaking news. This story was not posted when we started today. Earlier in the day, protesters in Jordan managed to bypass police and began approaching the border shared with Israel. So that is the absolute latest update, and we will be monitoring during this the next hour of this broadcast. Anything new that comes across our desk, we will let you know about it the moment that it happens. Now, why has Hamas chosen this time to attack Israel? Hamas is never happy with the Jewish people. Hamas wants to see the Jews driven into the ocean as soon as possible. But you have to ask yourself this question. For the entire 4 years that Donald Trump was president, Hamas didn't attack Israel. Hamas didn't send hardly any rockets over the border. So why, as soon as Joe Biden became president, why do we see all these countries that were held in check during the Trump years, why do we see North Korea refiring up their nuclear weapons? Why do we see the nation of Iran doing all this stuff, all this mischief and subterfuge and military actions? Why do we see Hamas suddenly, after a four-year layoff, why do we see Hamas suddenly now attacking Israel? Because they know, and they are 100% correct, when they believe that the Biden administration, regardless of whatever lip service that they pay to Israel, they know that the Biden administration is favorable to the Palestinians. They know that the Biden administration is against Israel and in favor of the two-state solution. Take a listen to this clip.
The fact of the matter is that Biden has gone back to the Obama relationship with Iran, given them a couple of hundred million, billion dollars. It sends all the wrong signals. And, of course, Iran backs Hamas, and hence the attack that's taking place now, and Israel defends itself. And then Biden comes out and says, well, he'll be a broker of peace. Well, you can't hold hands with Iran and be the broker of peace. It just doesn't work. And it was the strength of what Trump did that actually saw relationships building between Israel and its neighbors that just augured so well for the future. But to revert to the Obama relationship with Iran and to see support coming from Biden to Iran has just opened up a question of weakness in the support for Israel, which Hamas has taken advantage of. So it's just another consequence of having weak leadership in the United States.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, look, Malcolm Roberts, we're not going to spend the whole night talking about Israel, but it's awful with dozens of people on both sides of the border when it comes to that Gaza Strip aggression into even downtown Jerusalem. They have this iron dome of protection, missiles that basically go up and blow up missiles out of the ground, out of the sky. You know that this is ugly. But Israel's a democracy. Israel is the only democracy in the whole of the Middle East. Israel is worthy of defending, but equally the Palestinian claim on the territory is worth, you know, discussing. But surely there's room for both to live peacefully if only they'll give peace a chance.
So there you go. There you have Sky News in Australia talking about how the weakness of the Biden administration. But you know what? I don't call that weakness. I call that intentional planning. Weakness is something that you can't help because you're not strong enough. But the Biden administration, from the very, very beginning, Kamala Harris, even before she became the vice president, Kamala Harris said that she and Joe Biden will restore funding to the Palestinian Liberation Organization. It's a terrorist group. The state of Palestine, whatever you want to call it, was started by Yasser Arafat in the 1960s. The state of Palestine is run by Hamas. Hamas are Islamic terrorists. And that didn't stop Kamala Harris from saying that she and Joe Biden, she said this, Joe and I believe in the worth and value of every Palestinian and every Israeli, and we will work together to ensure that the Palestinians and Israelis enjoy equal measures of freedom, security, prosperity, and democracy. We are committed, Kamala Harris said, to a two-state solution, and we will oppose any unilateral steps that undermine that goal. We will also oppose annexation and settlement expansion. Would you like me to interpret what Kamala Harris said? We want to rip Israel right down the middle, and we want to give half of it to the Palestinians. And at the same time, we're not going to allow Israel to build new settlements on their own land. That's exactly what she meant when she said what I just read to you, that quote. If you have people that are committed to a two-state solution, you have people that are committed to fulfilling Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, May 14th, 1948, Joel 3:2, I will also gather all nations. This is the great tribulation. And I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Read it for yourself. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. God fights the battle of Armageddon. Because the land of Israel has been ripped right down the middle, and they have parted the land of Israel that God gave to them. And now God's going to show up and he's going to fight for Israel. Because God has promised that he has a eternal covenant with Abraham, and we talked about this the other day. We talked about this on Monday. God has a perpetual, today's Friday. We talked about it Wednesday night on our Wednesday night Bible study. God has a eternal covenant with the Jewish people. That does not preclude, that is not instead of New Testament salvation during the church age. Now, If you're listening to this broadcast and you're Jewish, let me speak to you directly. We love the Jewish people and we love and support the nation of Israel. Here in the church age, if you want God, you've got to have Jesus Christ. There is no way around it. And even though the Bible says that God made a covenant with Abraham, and God will complete that covenant, but if you're Jewish and you live and die in the church age, and you don't become born again according to John 3:3, the Bible says that you will die and go to hell. And we don't want that for you. So if you're Jewish today, we urge you to listen to the claims of Yeshua HaMashiach. John 3:3 says this, talking to Nicodemus, Jesus answers and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you're Jewish today, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, because if you miss that rapture, you are going to be left behind to face the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And that delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. Now, we were talking earlier, in this broadcast today about false teachers, people like Steven Anderson, people like, well, Joel Osteen, people like Tex Mars and Chuck Baldwin. But a lot of people get upset when you say that John Hagee is a false teacher. John Hagee is absolutely a, now he teaches some things that are true, but John Hagee is a deceptive, false teaching liar. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. I'm going to play two clips for you right now of John Hagee speaking. Here's the first clip. Listen as John Hagee denies that Jesus came to earth to be the Messiah.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
This latest book by Pastor John Hagee is destined to generate lively discussions among Christians the world over. It's available in most U.S. bookstores, or call the number on the screen and order your copy today. Call now or visit our website. Ask for offer B139.
Now, there you have John Hagee going so far as to make... Now, that audio clip was taken from a TV commercial, and TV commercials are not cheap to make. They cost thousands and thousands of dollars to make it a TV commercial. John Hagee made that commercial 11 years ago, and as you heard him say, he says repeatedly that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Jewish Messiah, and he did not say that he was the Messiah. That is an absolute lie. John chapter 4, Jesus talking with the woman at the well. John chapter 4, Jesus says this, starting in verse 22. Now, John Hagee says that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. That is a lie. John chapter 4, starting in verse 22, Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman, verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Do you realize what John chapter 4 is telling you? Jesus is telling this woman with his own mouth. He is looking this woman in the eye, and she is saying, we're waiting for the Messiah to come. And Jesus in verse 26 says, I that speak unto thee am he. John Hagee is an absolute false teacher. And not only that. Take a listen to, if you remember back in 2017, when the United States under President Trump declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, and then, in an amazingly bold Trump move, decided to finally move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, John Hagee, who is the friend of the Jewish people, so-called, John Hagee was asked to give, I don't know if you call this a prayer or an invocation or a benediction, but John Hagee stood up at that ceremony of the opening of the United States Embassy that was broadcast on every major news outlet around the world, and John Hagee was asked to address the leaders of the regathered nation of Israel. And this is what he said.
To now offer a closing benediction, I'd like to call upon Pastor John Hagee, founder and senior pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. Pastor Hagee.
Can we stand? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who calls the stars by name and measures space with the span of His hand, the God who is the King of the universe, we gather here today to thank You for the joy of living and seeing this glorious and historic day. We thank You for the state of Israel, the lone torch of freedom in the Middle East, who lives and prospers because of Your everlasting love for the Jewish people. It was You, O Lord, who gathered the exiles from the nations and brought them home again. It was You who made statehood possible. It was You that gave a miraculous victory in 1967 when Jerusalem was reopened to worshipers of all faith. Jerusalem is the city of God. Jerusalem is the heartbeat of Israel. Jerusalem is where Abraham placed his son on the altar of the Temple Mount and became the father of many nations. Jerusalem is where Jeremiah and Isaiah penned principles of righteousness that became the moral foundations of Western civilization. Jerusalem is where Messiah will come and establish a kingdom that will never end. We thank You, O Lord, for President Donald Trump's courage in acknowledging to the world a truth established 3,000 years ago, that Jerusalem is and always shall be the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And because of that courage of our president, we gather here today to consecrate the ground upon which the United States Embassy will stand, reminding the dictators of the world that America and Israel are forever united. We thank You for our Ambassador David Friedman, and pray Your anointing upon him as he opens the doors of the U.S. Embassy to receive the nations of the world. Let the word go forth from Jerusalem today that Israel lives. Shout it from the housetops that Israel lives. Let every Islamic terrorist hear this message: Israel lives. Let it be heard in the halls of the United Nations: Israel lives. Let it echo down the marble halls of the presidential palace in Iran: Israel lives. Let it be known to all men that Israel lives, because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. As King David prayed 3,000 years ago, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all its inhabitants. Let the name of the Lord be glorified today, for the defender of Israel today, tomorrow, and forever is here. Can we all shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blah, blah, blah. There you have John Hagee, who thinks of himself as one of the greatest preachers of the 21st century, who has an entire ministry based on end times Bible prophecy. He is asked to give a benediction in Israel, in Jerusalem, in front of the leaders of Israel. and with the eyes and the ears of the entire world listening and watching. And he says everything but the name of Jesus Christ. And why? Because John Hagee is a coward, he's a liar, and he's a false teacher. And John Hagee will never mention the name of Jesus Christ to Jewish people. Why? Because he makes millions and millions of dollars through his organization known as CUFI, Christians United for Israel. But he will never preach the gospel of the grace of God to Jewish people. And this is where we are. This is where we are on the front lines of the end times. Can you imagine calling yourself a Bible teacher? Can you imagine saying that you have an end times ministry and you're asked to address the nation of Israel from Jerusalem on live television? You call yourself a Christian and you don't mention Jesus Christ one time? You're a coward. You're a liar. And so there you have it. There you have it. And this is where we are today. This is where we are today. I saw people in the chat room were talking about this group called One for Israel. And we have been associated with that group for some time now. And back when we started Now the End Begins 11 years ago, we did some work together with the people from One for Israel. And we were very pleased to help to play a small role in those people getting their ministry started. If you remember, if you've been following our site for a long time, we used to have advertisement from One for Israel right on our website for a number of years. And we were very pleased that they reached out and asked us to help them as they began to start their ministry and as things began to start to grow. And they are a group of Messianic Jewish believers who are not ashamed or afraid to mention the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to fellow Jewish people in Israel. Take a listen to this clip. War rages in Israel. Hope and miracles in the midst of ancient conflict. This is from One for Israel.
Shalom, friends. As you have probably seen on the news, Israel is at war again, and we need your prayers now more than ever. Sirens were heard throughout Israel, including Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. We haven't had rockets reach that far since 2014. Our staff resides in those areas, and we spent our evening with our families in bomb shelters as the explosions rang overhead. In total, over 1,000 missiles were fired in the last 24 hours. Thankfully, the Iron Dome was able to intercept the majority, but several rockets made it through our defenses and made direct hits on buildings, buses, and cars, injuring many and killing five last night alone. Not only are we facing rocket barrages from the south, but all across the country, there are riots of Muslims in the streets. The riots last night in Lod, just south of Tel Aviv, have been referred to as Kristallnacht and civil war, as synagogues, cars, and businesses were burned and Muslim mobs roamed the streets with Molotov cocktails and rocks. Israel's police minister called the situation unprecedented. On the final days of Ramadan, Hamas used the failed Palestinian election and property disputes in East Jerusalem to spur rocket fire and riots that led to the conflict we're in. But as the news reporters seek to unwrap the causes and solutions to this conflict, we know that the core of this hatred and war is much deeper than the current events today. This hatred and animosity centers around a spiritual conflict as old as time, and the only true lasting peace can come through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, our Messiah. We know that God's desire is to turn the hearts from hatred to love through our Messiah, Yeshua.
So there you have it. You have the fine folks over at One for Israel, and they, unlike John Hagee, are not ashamed to name the name of Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing. And I love to see Jewish people get saved. And our entire ministry, from the very beginning, we have been 100% in favor of the Jewish people. We have been 100% in favor of the nation of Israel. Now, I understand that the Jewish people are not in a right relationship with God. I understand that Tel Aviv is the LGBTQ capital of the world. I understand that hospitals in Israel perform third trimester abortions. I understand all those things. I don't agree with those things. I don't condone those things. That's wicked sin. But what I do agree with is the fact that God regathered his people. God regathered his people in accordance with Bible prophecy back on May 14th, 1948. And it had very little to do with the Rothschilds or the Zionists or anything like that. Don't believe people like Steven Anderson and Tex Mars and Chuck Baldwin. They're liars. The nation of Israel was regathered on May 14th, 1948 because God declared it to be so. And whether you like it or not, the people living in a land that is called Israel today in 2021, they are the real Jewish people. There are no lost tribes. God knows exactly where every single tribe in Israel is. We may not know it, but he certainly knows it. And Revelation chapter 7 tells us that shortly after the rapture, those 12 tribes are going to be exactly where they need to be. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And I submit to you today that those 12 tribes are present on this earth right now. And God knows exactly where they are, and he knows exactly how he's going to assemble them together. So we don't need to spend 5 seconds with nonsense like, who are the real Jews? That's what the anti-Semitic people want you to think. That's what the people who wrote trash books like The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And all the rest of that garbage. That's what Adolf Hitler thought. Israel is, geographic Israel is the actual Israel. And today it's been regathered for 73 years. The Jewish people that are living in regathered Israel right now are the real Jews. There's no hidden Jews. There's no fake Jews. The only reason why some of you think that is because you listen to people like Tex Mars, you listen to people like Chuck Baldwin and Steven Anderson with his trash movie Marching to Zion, and these people are false teachers. We teach you the truth about the Jewish people, and we teach you the truth about the nation of Israel. And that's why we support the Jews. That's why we support Israel. And if you were smart, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you will do exactly the same thing. Because if you don't, Genesis 12:3 is going to put a nasty little curse on you. But if you have no problem with that, then go right ahead. Then go right ahead. But as for me, I won't be doing things like that. Now, what's happening on the ground right now? Let's take a listen to this. This clip was about an hour before broadcast time today. The United States, Joe Biden, is considering pulling military personnel from Israel. And this was about 10 o'clock this morning, Eastern time. Take a listen to this.
Fox News alert, the Israeli military executes airstrikes in Gaza, reportedly targeting a Hamas tunnel network. As conflict escalates overnight, the Pentagon mulling 120 military personnel being pulled out of that region in a, quote, abundance of caution. Here to react, Fox News senior strategic analyst and retired four-star general Jack Keane. General, thanks so much for being here. I want to get your reaction to both what's going on in Israel overnight and the United States response in, out of an abundance of caution, pulling personnel out.
Well, I certainly understand getting our people out of harm's way. And obviously, this is a very challenging situation that's taking place here in Israel. The phase that we're in now, that Israel is facing, is they clearly, in the words of Prime Minister Netanyahu, he wants Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Those are the two terrorist organizations that are firing the rockets and the missiles. He wants them to pay a price for this, much as they did back in 2014, when he not only conducted airstrikes, but also made a ground assault into Gaza. He's moved those ground troops up closer to the Gaza border, as you have indicated. He has not launched an attack into Gaza, and he's using those ground forces to fire their own organic artillery. And what he's trying to do in terms of pay a price, he's certainly not interested in killing any civilians, and they give civilians warnings before they conduct an attack on specific buildings. But obviously, given 2 million people living on top of one another, there will be civilian casualties. But he's after the leaders, he's after the fighters, but most importantly, he's after the infrastructure. The launches of the rockets and missiles, the rockets and missiles themselves, their depot storage areas, the entire infrastructure, as you mentioned, of a tunnel network that supports all of this activity. They don't move around on the city streets. They move around in a complex tunnel network that some people have seen it, refer to it as a city underneath a city. So this entire infrastructure that's supporting these rocket and missile attacks is the phase that we're in now. And I think they'll stay in that phase until their intelligence services indicate to the prime minister that they've accomplished the goal they wanted. And that is a huge consequential result for these terrorist organizations in doing it. And so it's a deterrence for them doing it again.
Meanwhile, General, a different kind of attack here in the United States, a cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline. President Biden has said it wasn't coordinated by the Russian government, but it did take place in Russia. Let's listen to President Biden.
We do not believe the Russian government was involved in this attack.
All right, so there you have Fox News saying just hours ago that the United States has begun the process of pulling military personnel out of Israel. It's interesting. Don't you find it interesting that Joe Biden has yet to appoint a U.S. ambassador to Israel? I find that very interesting. You would think that when you're the new president, so-called, and you take over, and the previous president, Donald Trump, had done such amazing work with the Abraham Accords, wouldn't you think that having an ambassador to the nation of Israel would be one of your top priorities? No. On day one of Joe Biden's presidency, he sat there at the Oval Office desk, the Resolute desk, and he began to sign executive orders doing things like canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, executive orders promoting chemical castration of transgender children, and all sorts of things like that. And that's what Joe Biden was spending his time doing instead of what I would think would be an important thing, like making sure that you have an ambassador to the nation of Israel in the first week that you become president. Evidently, Joe Biden didn't think that that was worthy of his time or consideration. And here we are halfway through the month of May. We are 4.5 months into 2021, and Joe Biden still has yet to appoint a U.S. ambassador to the nation of Israel. So that really kind of tells you where Joe Biden is thinking. Here's another way that tells you what Joe Biden is thinking. We did an article yesterday, made a lot of people mad, made me mad when I was writing it. Yesterday, Joe Biden went on Twitter, and Joe Biden tweeted out that if you want to take the mask off, you have to agree to receive the government COVID injection into your bloodstream. Joe Biden said yesterday, and I'm going to play the clip in just a second. Joe Biden said yesterday that the only way that you're going to be allowed to take the mask off is you've got to get vaccinated with a government COVID injection. Take a listen to Joe Biden telling you that you have two choices, and he mispronounces the word vaxxed. Take a listen.
Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. It's vaxxed or masked. Get vaccinated.
And there you have Joe Biden. He can barely get through that. If you watch the video clip of that, his eyes are squinting so badly. He has no thoughts of his own in his head. He only knows what his handlers allow him to say. He doesn't say anything that's not on a teleprompter. And even when it's on a teleprompter, he is literally unable to read it properly or correctly. And as you heard, he said, get vaxxed. I don't even know what that means. Oh, boy. Let's take a listen again.
Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do.
Here it comes. Get vaxxed.
It's vaxxed or masked. Get vaccinated.
There it is. Get vaxxed or... or wear the mask. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to receive the vaccine either. And we've been telling you about the dangerous things that have been happening with the vaccine. People waking up 12 hours later completely paralyzed from their neck all the way down to their feet. People with Bell's palsy and paralysis, people with temporary blindness and complete loss of hearing, people with unbelievable sores breaking out all across their body. Now, I'm not going to, first of all, I don't believe in vaccines and vaccinations. My children have not been vaccinated, so this is not a new position for me. If you're going to call me a conspiracy theorist, well, at least do me the honor and admit that this is not a new position for me. My daughter Kelsey just got married a few weeks ago. She turned 25 years old. She was not vaccinated. Her brother and her sister have not been vaccinated. So this is not a new position for me. Why am I anti-vax? Because I have a brain, because God gave me the ability to discern truth from fiction, and because I've done my research. And this is not a position that I came to recently. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump or MAGA or anything like that. I have been against vaccines for at least a quarter of a century because I did my research. And I am absolutely not surprised about all the blood clots and the head to toe sores and the paralysis and all those other things. But if you think that the American government is going to slow down, they're not. If you live in Canada or you live in Europe or Asia or you live in the Middle East, if you think that your government is going to eventually get tired and give up and say, well, okay, I guess the crisis has passed, that day is not coming. It's going to change forms. They're going to change tact. They're going to change methods. But if you think for 1 second, in whatever country that you're listening to this in, and these broadcasts are listened to in over 120 different countries, and we praise God for the increase. But if you think that in whatever country that you are a citizen of, if you think that your government is just going to give up at some point and say, okay, we're not going to worry about this anymore, everybody can go back to their regularly scheduled life, that's never going to happen. But they will change tact and they will change their forms. They will change their methods because they want to confuse you. And people are not hard to fool. People love to be fooled. People love to be tricked. People love to be scared. Isn't that why so many people go to the movies and they watch these horrific movies? They watch horror movies. And they, I mean, why would anyone, why would anybody on the face of this earth plunk down $10 to $15 for a ticket to go into a dark room and watch gruesome murder, violence, and filth taking place on a massively wide screen for anywhere from 90 minutes to 2.5 hours? Why would anybody want to watch movies like that? Well, because people like to be fooled. People like to be tricked. People like to be deceived. Now, I'm not making that up. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. That's Bible truth. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will ye do in the end thereof? People love to be fooled, and the New World Order is well aware of that. Why do you think they do so much predictive programming? Why do you think that they are so bold that they can brag about what they're getting ready to do next? Because they know that the vast majority of people are going to be too stupid to figure it out. Now, if you're saved, you have even less excuse than a lost person, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, not just Bible truth, but into all truth. Truth found in scripture, truth found in politics, truth found in science, truth found in philosophy. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So if you're saved, you have literally no excuse for being fooled by the New World Order. And why do you think there is such a rush by the social media people? And why there is such an effort by the fake news media to censor and cancel and silence people that don't agree with them, because they don't want the truth to come out. They absolutely don't want the truth to come out. But if you're saved, then you know the truth when you see it. And that's why we've been exposing, for the last 15 months, we have been exposing the New World Order every single step of the way. And it's not even hard to do. It's the easiest thing in the world. But that's just like the Bible. The Bible is not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. I'll say that again. The Bible is not hard to understand. It's a hard book to believe. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 9, starting in verse 1, going to verse 3. Revelation 9, 1 through 3. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given great power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, how many times have you been listening to some Bible teacher talking about these verses in Revelation chapter 9, and they say, okay, now the bottomless pit, what God means when he says bottomless pit, he's talking about something that is infinite. No. When God says bottomless pit, he means a pit that has no bottom. And how many times have you heard Bible commentators, even people like Hal Lindsey, when it talks about these locusts that come up out of the earth? And back when I first got saved, I used to follow some of the teachings of Hal Lindsey. And Hal Lindsey would take verses like starting in Revelation 9:7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Hal Lindsey says, well, that's a picture of military Apache attack helicopters during the battle of the Great Tribulation. That's nothing of a kind. Revelation chapter 9 is talking about a bottomless pit. And when this pit is opened, these creepy, scary, disgusting locusts with human faces are going to fly out of a bottomless pit. Now, I don't need to run to the Greek or hide behind the Hebrew to figure out what Revelation 9 is telling me. Revelation 9 is telling me that there's going to be a bottomless pit that's going to be opened up, and locusts are going to fly out. Now, how hard is that to understand? The Bible is not hard to understand if you're saved. But it's where it gets tough and where it gets challenging. The Bible is a hard book to believe. Let me give you one more example. Let me give you one more example of something that is hard to believe, but very easy to understand. Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, that is not a metaphor for Satan. That is a description of Satan. I'll say that again. That is not a metaphor for Satan and the devil. That is a literal, physical, visible description that you could give to a police sketch artist and say, hey, I want you to draw this thing that I just saw. Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 13 tells you very, very clearly that Satan is a seven-headed red dragon. That is not metaphorical. That is literal, visible, and actual. And here's where it gets even harder to believe. During the time of the Great Tribulation, after Antichrist is killed, Satan is going to come on the scene as a seven-headed red dragon that is as tall as a skyscraper. Can you believe that? Because that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the scriptures say. That's not a metaphor. That is a literal description of what Satan actually looks like. He is a seven-headed red dragon. And he's massive, like Leviathan from Job chapter 41. Now, can you believe that during the time of the Great Tribulation, physically on this earth, I want you to think of the movie Godzilla. I want you to think of the movie Godzilla. It's kind of funny how they have God in the title, right? Godzilla, the God Lizard. Kind of funny, isn't it? And that movie, I can recall watching that movie when I was a kid about Godzilla, about this giant dragon that is stomping on skyscrapers called Godzilla, the God Lizard. But let me tell you something. That's what the book of Revelation says that Satan looks like. So if you're one of those post-toasties that insist on missing the rapture and you want to wait for Antichrist, well, what you're going to be faced with is a seven-headed red dragon that Revelation chapter 12 is so big that he can put his mouth into the Jordan River and he can drink the entire river. You don't believe me? Go read Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 says, verse 15, and the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you've read Job chapter 41, if you've read Revelation chapter 12, and if you've read Daniel chapter 11, then you know exactly what Satan looks like. Daniel 11:22 says, and with the arms of a flood, that's the flood from Revelation chapter 12, that's the flood from Job chapter 41 with Leviathan, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown before him, from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So the Bible is not a hard book to understand. The Bible is a hard book to believe. And everything that I just told you is going to take place one day very soon. And it's going to be things that you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears. If you are unfortunate enough to miss the rapture, and I highly advise if you're not saved, you get saved before this broadcast is over. And this broadcast is over in 3 minutes. But if you're not saved, I highly advise that you get saved, because if you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble, it is highly likely that you are going to worship Antichrist and die and go to hell. And if you don't worship Antichrist, if you reject Antichrist, and if you reject the mark of the beast, you're going to get your head cut off. But either way, if you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble, let me just tell you one thing. You will see with your eyes Godzilla. You will see Satan 50 stories high, red, with seven heads, with fire coming out of his mouth. Remember watching that TV show, The Munsters? And remember how they had that fire breathing dragon that lived under the staircase, and they would take the banister of the staircase and they would pull it back like a lever, and that the staircase would open up like a clamshell, and that dragon's head would come out and it would breathe fire and smoke out of its face. Well, that's Satan. And that's what he really looks like. If you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble, you are going to face a seven-headed red dragon. You are going to face literal locusts coming up out of the ground, out of the bottomless pit. Wouldn't you rather just get saved and miss all of that? Really, there's got to be something wrong with your thinking if you're looking forward to the tribulation. If you are somebody who actually wants to be part of that time period, there's something wrong with you. Even if the pre-tribulation rapture wasn't true, I would still want it to be true, because I don't want to be in the time of Jacob's trouble. I don't want to be in the time of the great tribulation. Amos says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." It's not just about having a different interpretation on the timing of the rapture. If you desire the day of the Lord, there's something wrong with you. And that's not according to me. That's according to Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 5, 8 through 10 says, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." If you're not saved today, please get saved. You don't want to find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble. You won't make it. You won't make it. Why don't you just get saved right here, right now, and trust a sinless Savior and make the great transaction? He died for your sins. Give him your sin and receive his righteousness. I thank you very, very much for tuning in today. Please keep us in prayer as we get ready for our big weekend next weekend. And to all of you that are coming, we are so excited to see you live and in person at our NTEB camp meeting on May 22nd. And if you live local, please, on Friday, May 21st, please come to the opening of the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to say hi. We'd love to say hello and to show you the great work that God is doing here through us at NowTheEndBegins.com. And as always, we thank all of you for being part of the NTEB family of Bible believers around the world, in over 120 different countries, and we rejoice with the increase and the expanded borders that God has given us. Please keep the Jewish people in your prayers. Please keep the nation of Israel in your prayers, and keep the Palestinians in your prayers as well. Jesus Christ died for all men, that all men might be free. Thank you very much, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for another NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy birthday, Regathered Israel. Joshua,
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua. He was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until the work was done. He got no friend. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon. You may brag about your men of Saul. There's no like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow the rebel, the Joshua cry, cause the battle I'm in my hand. I got no friend. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul. There's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. They tell my great God that Joshua's spear was well nigh 12 feet long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. He had bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Oh, blow them around the Joshua crack, cause the devil can't do you no harm. Got no friend, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Then up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow them around the Joshua crack, cause the battle I'm in my hand. Then the lamb round sheep horns began to blow, the trumpets began to sound. Old Joshua shouted glory, and the walls come tumbling down. The God knows him, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down,
down, down, down,
tumbling down.